Well, we're going to finish the first chapter of Joshua this morning, the rest of the verses. Last week we looked at the matter of, strength and courage, and how the commissioning of Joshua by Yahweh set Joshua up to be the leader of the people of Israel. And what that meant to Joshua. And how just as Joshua was to have the strength and courage, so we must also, in the church as well, have strength and courage. And we're going to get to more of that this morning as we look further into the chapter. But this morning we continue with the rest of the chapter with Joshua. Now Joshua has been commissioned by Yahweh. Joshua has been told four times now. Moses did it earlier. We find in the book of Deuteronomy that Moses told Joshua, be strong, be courageous, because you're going to lead the people. And then we saw in the first chapter here last week that God tells that same thing to Joshua three times. Be strong. Be courageous. And how important that was to God. Else why would he repeat it three times? To be strong and be courageous. So now, Joshua begins to lead. He begins to give commands to the people of Israel. And they in return respond back to him. Some of them do. So in verses 10 through 15 of chapter 1, we find that Joshua begins to take command. And I believe that this was immediately after Yahweh had spoken to him. That Joshua took it to heart what God told him. You be strong and be courageous. You are going to lead the people. And you see from this that Joshua didn't shrink back. He didn't give any excuses to God. He didn't say, I can't do it. He didn't say, I won't do it. Can you imagine that? He didn't say, I won't do it. But he began to lead, and he began to lead by action. Verses 10 through 15 says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days, you are to cross this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you. To possess it. Notice that Joshua repeat that twice. To the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God gives you rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan, but you shall cross before your brothers in battle array all your valiant warriors and shall help them until the Lord gives your brothers rest as he gives you. And they also possess the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to your own land and possess that which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. So here Joshua is speaking to the people, He speaks to the people. He speaks to the officers of the people first. And then he speaks to the leaders of the 2.5 tribes. So he now begins to show. You can see this? He now begins to show the strength and courage that God told him to exhibit. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said anything. And they wouldn't have went anywhere as well. How can Joshua do this? Because he knows that he has Yahweh behind him. He knows he has God with him. He believed what God said. He took it to heart. That's a lesson in there for us as well today. To believe what he says and to take it to heart. What we are experiencing today, both with this virus and the unrest in our country, we still have to take to heart what God says in His Word. We still need to follow it. We still need to have that strength and courage. So here Joshua is. Now remember what I said before. Joshua's not a young guy. He's 78 years old. When God told him that, where they're at now, he's 78 years old. Not a youngster. Not middle age. He's elderly. Well, we would call it elderly today. Right? So he takes charge. And the first thing Joshua does is he speaks to the officers of the people. Who are these guys? Who are these men? In the Hebrew, the word is shatirim. And shatirim means those people, those men, who were the literate ones. Who had an understanding. Who in effect knew. Could read God's Word, the Law of Moses. They were the scribes. And their duties varied. But more than likely, these guys were the ones that we would call civil servants today. They would be like those who we call our senators or representatives should be. That's what these men were. Well, and Joshua goes to them first.
In the days of the Constitution, maybe. At the colony.
What's that, Jenna?
Oh, maybe in the days of the colonies when they declared independence from England.
Well, they still should be today. Yeah. But more than likely, that's what these men were. They were like the civil servants of today. They were also the ones that kept the family registers. They kept the genealogy records of the people. They knew who the people were. They were the ones that issued orders to the people to carry out Joshua's and Yahweh's commands. But these were not military guys. They were not the warriors. They were not military men. But what you can see here, even here, in Joshua's day, in the ancient Israel, in their days, what you can see here, brothers and sisters, is a chain of command. Who's at the top of the command? Joshua? No. Yahweh is at the top of the command. And then Joshua. And then those civil servants, those officers. Well, just like that, in the church, we have a chain of command. And that chain of command, it's not me, it's not any of the other guys here. Who is it? Whose church is this? It's His church. It's Christ's church. He is at the top. He is at the chain of command. And yes, He does have leaders. He told us that. That's why we have evangelists. That's why we have teachers. That's why we are to have elders and deacons in that. That's why we have a chain of command, as it says. That's why the Scripture teaches, as Paul said, that the older women should teach the younger ones. And that also goes for the men. That we older men teach the younger ones. I dare say, I believe, that we wouldn't have had the problems that we're having if that had been taking place. And that's a fallback, a detriment, and a wrong that we have done in the church. But you see that chain of command here. They were, these officers, Joshua told them, they were to go to the people. Now we're talking over 3 million people. That's a lot of people, isn't it? So they were to go to the people, and they would more likely go to the clan leaders of the various tribes, and to tell them to prepare, gather the necessary provision that they would need for the journey. And Joshua said within 3 days they would be crossing over. And they needed to be ready. Now, the biblical, when it talks about 3 days, you have to see that not in the chronological sense. It can have a chronological sense, but biblically it's more of a symbolic sense. What it does, when he's talking about, whenever you see 3 days in the Scriptures, it has more to do with the fact that we have before us an important and a pertinent transition. That there is going to be a change. You see that throughout the Scriptures. What did Jesus mean when he said, when he told, and the leaders of the people didn't understand? And they said, what? He's going to tear down this thing that Herod hadn't even finished, his temple, and he's going to rebuild it in 3 days? They didn't understand, did they? He said, you tear this down in 3 days, I'm going to raise it up again. And they didn't understand it. But what he was referring to was what? Himself. That in 3 days, he was going to rise again. When that point in time came. Three has a, numbers in Scriptures are very significant. And they're very powerful. And that three, you see that throughout what Jesus said, told him, he said, just as Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of the fish, so he would be, right? What he's signifying then, by that, he's saying, I want you to pay attention to this. This is a very important moment. This is a very important transition. It's a change. And that's what was going to happen here. Is that there was going to be a change. And notice what Joshua does here. He tells them, these officers, tell them, you get the people ready. Prepare yourselves. You know, take up your tents. Get your food. All your provisions. Notice Joshua doesn't say anything about weapons of war here, though. He doesn't say, okay, guys, get your armor on. Get your swords. Make sure they do that. No. By provisions, what he's talking about is get ready to journey. Get ready to go.
Well, you don't port across a river without making some provisions.
Yeah, but what Joshua was saying was, just like God was telling Joshua was telling the people, we have been here long enough. We have sit long enough. We have mourned for Moses 30 days. That is done. But Joshua was telling the people, within 3 days, there's going to be a transition. Get ready. You're going to move. You're going to make a change. You're going to transition. Brothers and sisters, many people forget that about their Christian life. And see, is that when we become a Christian, there's a change. There's a transition. We put on Christ. We don't stay where we're at. We move. And that's what Joshua's telling the people. Get ready. Get ready to move. Get ready to change, to transition. And many people don't realize that when you become a Christian, that's what you do. You move. You change. You make a transition from the old to the new. That's what Paul said. We become new creations. We put on Christ. We are clothed with Christ. But we have to keep that clothing with Christ. And we have to continue moving on. We're not done yet. We haven't transitioned. We can rejoice in the fact that Brother Dwayne has transitioned. And one day, just as we saw him here, we'll see him again. But just as he will be complete and transformed, just as we will. But we have to keep, as long as we are here, well, Dwayne's run the race. He fought the fight. He finished his course. We have to stay the course. But we have to keep moving on. And that's what Joshua is telling the people here. So Joshua reiterates the promise of Yahweh to them and to tell the people, we have to, the same thing in the church, we have to do with one another continually. It's just what Joshua tells the people. He tells them not only to prepare to get ready, but he says to prepare because you're going to cross the Jordan to possess the land which I'm giving you. Which I'm going to give you. Which is just yours. No. Joshua reiterates the promise that God gave him. And that he gave Moses. He says, to go in to possess the land which the Lord, your God, Yahweh, is giving you. And then he repeats it. To possess it.
It's already owned by somebody else.
That is yours. Yes. So he reiterates the promise of Yahweh. So now next he talks to the leaders of the eastern tribes. He's not talking to all the people now. He's talking to the leaders of the eastern tribes. That of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And he reminds them that what Moses said to them. That Yahweh through Moses, had given them their inheritance already. If you look back in the book of Numbers, chapter 32, talks about how Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh, they settled in Gilead, in what we call the Transjordan area. And notice what they said to Moses, starting in verse 16. Then they came near him and said, "We will build here sheepfolds for our livestock and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will be armed, ready to go before the sons of Israel until we have brought them to their place, while our little ones live in the fortified cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return to our homes until every one of the sons of Israel has possessed his inheritance." See, that's what they're telling Moses. They're promising Moses this. "For we will not have an inheritance with them on the other side of the Jordan and beyond, because our inheritance has fallen to us on this side of the Jordan, toward the east." Now notice what Moses says to them. So Moses said to them, if, see that? That's a condition. "If you will do this, if you will arm yourselves before the Lord for the war, and all you armed men cross over the Jordan before the Lord until he has driven his enemies out before him, and the land which is subdued before the Lord, then afterward you shall return and be free of obligation toward the Lord and toward Israel. And this land shall be yours for possession before the Lord." Now notice verse 23. "But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord. And be sure your sin will find you out. Build yourself, go ahead," Moses says, "build yourself cities for your little ones and sheepfolds for your sheep, and do what you have promised." Do what you have promised. The sons of Gad and the sons of Reuben spoke to Moses, saying, "Your servants will do just as my Lord commands. Our little ones, our wives, our livestock, and all our cattle shall remain there in the cities of Gilead, while your servants, everyone who is armed for war," that's 20 years and upward, "will cross over in the presence of the Lord to battle, just as my Lord says." So Moses gave command concerning them to Eleazar the priest, Aaron's son, and to Joshua, now get this, and to Joshua the son of Nun, and to the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the sons of Israel. And Moses said to them, "If the sons of God and the sons of Reuben, everyone who is armed for battle, will cross with you over the Jordan in the presence, this is significant, in the presence of the Lord, and the land is subdued before you, then you shall give them the land of Gilead for possession. But if," condition, "but if they will not cross over with you armed, they shall have possessions among you in the land of Canaan." The sons of Gad and the sons of Reuben answered, saying, "As the Lord has said to your servant, so we will do. We ourselves will cross over armed in the presence of the Lord into the land of Canaan, the possession of our inheritance with us across the Jordan." So Moses gave to them, to the sons of Gad, and to the sons of Reuben, and to the half-tribe of Joseph's son Manasseh, the kingdom of the Amorites, the kingdom of Zion, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, the king of Bashan, the land with the cities, their territories, and the cities of the surrounding land. And so they built their cities. But they left their wives and children there, along with about 70,000 other guys, to protect them. But they journeyed. So what is Joshua doing? Joshua is reminding, he's talking to the leaders of these eastern tribes, because he is reminding them of that inheritance that they already have.
Of their obligations.
But the, exactly, Jeff. Of their obligations.
Then they need to do it now.
Of their obligations. Of the promise that they had made. And Joshua, in effect, was telling them, you will not continue to have that unless you do this. And the reason why Joshua reminded them of this, again, it was conditionally. It meant those who were the would be the warriors in the 2.5 tribe, 20 years old and upward. That amounted to about 40,000 guys. Not all of the men of the tribe crossed over. There were some 70,000 that stood behind, that were left behind to care for the women and children left behind in their territory, in what they had an inheritance. Well, why is Joshua talking to them? He said once the conquest of the land was completed, and that took some time, by the way, about over 7 years. They could return to their homes. Why does Joshua do this? Because again, you see, it's a test of leadership. Those 2.5 tribes, the people of those 2.5 tribes, could have told Joshua, are you kidding me? We already got our inheritance. It's ours. We're not going to go with you. We followed Moses, but we ain't following you. Who are you? So Joshua tells him this because it's a test of leadership. But not only that, brothers and sisters, but it's a test of unity. That the tribes are all together. They must be united. They must be united in what God told them. In order for it to be accomplished.
Reconstitute what you committed yourselves to previously. The Lord suffers the same thing.
True. So what they're saying is, what Joshua is saying is, I'm now the leader. And in effect, what he wants from those guys, from those men, would they respect and accept him as the leader? Or would they reject it? But if they rejected it, remember that those conditions. If they rejected it, they would lose their inheritance. Now they might not think they would, but if they rejected it, they would lose their inheritance. That was the conditions. Now we in the church, we have conditions as well that the Lord puts upon us, both individually and corporately as the church. The Lord wants us united. He wants us together. And how we are going to transition completely, be completely transformed, is by staying united together on His Word. On what he says. So, did they respect and did they honor Joshua? Verses 16 through 18, you see them respond. They answered Joshua, saying, all that you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Imagine that. Just now, take this kind of tongue in cheek, though. But notice what they say next. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words in all that you command them shall be put to death. Now notice what they say to Joshua next. only be strong and courageous. So who's doing the speaking here? It's not all, well, it's all the people of Israel. No, it's these 2.5 tribes. It does not negate the rest of the people, that the rest of the people followed Joshua. We know that they did. But notice what these men said to Joshua. It's rather striking, to say the least. These men are saying, yes, we accept you as the leader, just as Moses was. Remember how Yahweh had spoken directly to Joshua? God didn't speak directly to these men. They could have said, hey, God didn't speak to us. He spoke to you. But they realized, and they recognized who Joshua was. But more than that, they recognized who was behind them. That Yahweh was. Now there's a bit of a quandary here in the reply. Remember they said they fully obeyed Moses in all that he said? Did they?
No. Those are titles.
Yes. If they did, why did they wander in the wilderness for 40 years? So it could be, you know, that they were kind of being tongue-in-cheek, but I don't think so. But how reassuring is that after all? Hey, just as we obeyed Moses and all things, we're going to obey you. Can you imagine what was going through Joshua's mind? You obeyed everything Moses said?
Yeah.
Y'all better watch this.
Yeah, I'm only in their deluded minds.
It's different in the church.
Exactly.
In the church, based only in all those people.
But the thing of it is that here, however that may be, they did make a promise. They did make a vow to Joshua. But not only that, they were making a vow and a promise to God, to Yahweh. And now they get serious about it. And they show Joshua that what they are saying, you know, Joshua might have been thinking, you said you obey me and everything just like we did Moses, but you didn't really obey Moses and all things. But now notice, that may have been going through their minds too. Yeah, we really didn't do that. But now they get serious. And they show what they are saying they do not take lightly. Do you see this? They put forth a warning and a promise of their own concerning disobedience. They use the same word that Moses used of them. Merah, which means rebel. Remember what Moses said about them? That they were rebellious people? They were stiff-necked and stubborn? Even God said so? Well, what they said, we're telling Moses, I mean Joshua here, what they were telling Joshua here is just like that. If we find anyone who is Merah, who rebels, who doesn't, then what was the penalty?
Death.
They were serious. They were joking around. So, but notice also here, they give back the responsibility to Joshua in what they say next. They're taking on responsibility, yes. But they also give responsibility back to Joshua. In essence, they are saying that Joshua, you must exhibit in your life, you must show that indeed The divine presence of Yahweh is with you. By how you lead, by what you do, by how you act. That will be observed in how he leads the people into the promised land, as well as maintaining his following of Yahweh himself. You see, for the fifth time, Joshua is being told, be strong and courageous. Only this time, it's by the people themselves. I like what Brother David Foss said concerning this. Conviction, or rather courage, this is good for us to remember. Courage grows as our convictions deepen. Remember all the things we talked about, what happening today and what we go through in that. Remember what Paul and the early Christians went through. How persecuted they were. Look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12. Actually, go above that. He said in verse 9, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God. No, excuse me. I'm in 1 Corinthians. I mean 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Look what he says in the beginning of verse 7. But if the ministry of death in letters engraved on stones came with glory, so that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face, fading as it was, how would the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? For if the ministry of condemnation has glory, much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory. For indeed, what had glory in this case had no glory because of the glory that surpasses. For of that which fades away with glory, much more that which remains in glory. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness, courage in speech. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness. Do we not have that hope as well? My goodness, we think about all the things that the early Christians had to go through, Paul himself and that. But they maintained that boldness. Why? Because their courage and their boldness grew as I believe, as their convictions deepened. The more and more they transitioned, they changed for Christ's sake. The same thing for us. I like what Robert Hubbard said. He said, as the fulfillment of the patriarchal promise and the realization of all their own hopes and dreams hang on both leader and people doing their parts well. That's the same way, brothers and sisters, with the church. David Foss said, don't sit back and wait for heroic opportunities to arise. Trust God boldly in the ordinary challenges you face every day. Courage isn't the absence of fear. It's choosing to live by faith in spite of your fear. Now, there might be many things that we're afraid of in this day and age. But how do we choose to live? That's the lesson in herein that we can take from what Joshua said to the people here and what they said back to him. Are we going to live boldly? No matter what? We with whatever challenges we may face. Or do we let the adversary win the battle? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. But no matter what, as we have the presence of God. We may not see Him, but we have His presence. Do we not? And He has given us, He has added us to the church. That we take care of one another. And as the scriptures teach us, when one rejoices, the other rejoices. When one weeps, we weep as well. As much as I couldn't see, and I didn't have the chance to be in Brother Duane's presence one last time, I still wept and rejoiced with him and Patty, you know, couldn't be there. And as Tony said, I do believe that it borders on criminality when you can't do those things. When in essence the state is keeping you from that. But yet, we can still weep with one another. We can still rejoice with one another. We can still be there for one another. If not physically, in other ways.
I was this close to getting you in there.
What's that?
I was this close to getting you in there. The nurse was helping me work her way up so that you could come. And the chaplain, the lady chaplain. There just wasn't enough time.
Yeah. That's just a... To me, that's just wrong. You know?
That's what I said. That's what I said to them. I said, do I need to get my attorney involved? And she said, maybe.
Why is that even necessary?
Exactly.
Oh my God.
That's politics.
Why is that even necessary?
Yes. Exactly is. But in all of this, we've still got to keep on keeping on. And knowing that even though others may not know that He's there. He's with us. He's with our church. And no matter what may happen, the years ahead, whatever, He's still there. He's with us. And we're going to keep on. Keeping on.
Well,
no matter what.
Knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade Him.
Exactly. And you see, that's what was behind Joshua. That's what was behind Joshua. He knew who was behind him. The people, even though they were following Joshua, yes, they also knew who was behind him. And that's the challenge for us today in the church. To remember those things and to hold on to those things. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. Father God, we thank You for this day that You've given us. Lord, may we learn the lessons that we have here from Your servant Joshua and from the response of the people. Father, may we take those things to heart. And indeed, Father, may we have the strength and the courage to carry on, and the strength and courage to, no matter what may come our way, that we continue pressing on. So that indeed, Father, that we continue to stay the course. and continue to run the race as we can, Father, until the time comes that we have finished the race, finished our course. But may we do so, Lord, within you, and then following you. Be with us, Lord, and Father, as we go to our homes, guide and direct us throughout this week. Lord, I just pray that, Father, that you would be with Patty and with Jennifer and Tammy and the rest of the family, Lord, and just continue to lift them up and give them the comfort and the strength that they need at this time in their lives. And again, Father, we praise you and thank you for the many blessings that you've given us. But above all, Father, the blessing that we have of eternal life in your Son, Jesus. May you guide and direct us to those who need to hear these things, Father. Oh, we live in such a world, Lord, that is so desperately in need of that. Open minds and hearts to your word, Father. Be with us again, Lord, throughout this week and the days coming ahead. We thank you and praise you, Father, that we have the privilege and the freedom to worship you in spirit and in truth this day. In your Son, Jesus, in whose name we ask all these things.